And so I just really want to resonate that challenge before you to encourage all of us to figure out ways to talk about it with your family this next week and when the sign-up opportunity comes next Sunday to let's have more names than we have spaces. Just like the people of God, when Moses was calling the people before they built the tabernacle to say, bring your belongings, bring your gold and your silver and your purple and your tapestries and all those things. May that be said of TCOC next Sunday morning. So I challenge you to figure out what is it that you can do, part of your sacrifice, one night. I'm committing already one night during that week to be a part of what's happening here. I don't do well without sleep, so we'll see what the next morning sermon is like. But that's okay. God's going to be in the picture. So it's all about God, not about me. The other thing is about the contribution for our children and teens ministry. I've been praying about that. And so Monday morning when Gemma sent out the email to say we're like at 13,700 or something, and we had another 1,000 come in, another 1,200 come in, and we got up to 16,453, I think it's some change. And so I really encourage us, let's make that extra 1,000, and let's do it today. Not necessarily the money coming in today, but to commit yourself for it. And I will commit myself, Lynn and I will commit an additional $100 to what we've already pledged to be given towards that. So now only $900 needs to be given. If we can find 10 people or 9 people to give $100 or 18 people to give $50 or whatever it is, one-time contribution, additional money that can be spread out over 12 months, whatever it is, I just really want to encourage all of us to be able to figure out ways to be able to bless this ministry. Last year, they only raised, I think it was like $12,000. So we're already almost five over that, and that's awesome for us to be able to do. And so I want to congratulate you, those of you who chose to be a part of this, and to encourage all of us to continue. Make sure if you look inside your bulletin, there's all kinds of wonderful announcements there about things for the women to participate in, things for the teens to participate in, things for the children, and just really encourage you to, as we enter into a very busy time of the year, November and December, to figure out ways that you can bless and look out for people who are less fortunate than you are, and there always are. There may be people in your neighborhood, there may be people in the world around us, so be able to really bless along those lines. So I'd like to ask the shepherds to come up. They wanted to have a prayer over me, and I always wonder, I want prayer. When people would ask me this coming week, what can we do for you? I said, pray. Just pray that God does wonderful things. So, yay, my better half. In case you haven't met, this is my better half, Linda, so welcome her, please.
So grateful you have blessed this church mightily. You have guided us through some pretty difficult times, and we've come out the other side of that, Lord, and we are just so thankful for that. Lord, almost a year ago, you put us on a path to seek out and find a man and a woman that were going to be here to partner with us to minister to this community. You selected a team. That team was diligent. Mm-hmm. You selected a couple, and you laid it on their hearts to join us here. And we are so thankful for that, Lord. As Randy begins his ministry here, we ask that you bless him, you give him strength, you give him wisdom, you give him guidance, and you help him.
So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. That's where we'll be this morning entirely. Joshua chapter 1, the first 9 or 10 verses or so. Wonderful to be, again, with you guys, and so honored to be able to be chosen as the one to participate with you and partner with you in this incredible ministry here. Living beyond limits. What does that mean for us? So the question I want to begin this morning with is, if you were to write the story of your life, what would that story reveal? Some of you have stories that I would just bust up laughing because you have phenomenal stories of children doing all kinds of weird things, or your spouse does weird things, or you do weird things, or whatever along life. Some of you have stories that would make me want to cry because I listened to your stories. I would listen to your stories, and there would be heartbreak, and there would be tears, there would be death, there would be devastation, there would be bankruptcy, there would be sin for all of us, and those kinds of stories. But oftentimes our stories begin to reveal to us what God is doing. And every single story is a part of that, of God's story as to what he wants to do in your life, in your world. It doesn't make a difference where you live, whether it's San Diego or Michigan or even Ohio. It's really about what God wants to do, regardless of what your job is or where you go to school. Even all those things are very important to us. What does God want to do? When I was a kid, my father was a minister, and so I heard him preach. And when we moved to Newport, Rhode Island, that was what I wanted to do, one of my dreams. But I also loved playing sports, and so I grew up around Boston teams back in the 60s and the early 70s. And so I would be out shooting baskets like John Havlicek from the Boston Celtics. And I would be on the ice hockey arena or the pond out in the back 40 or on the golf course that we'd go on when the snow would come along and the ponds would freeze over. And I'd be hitting slap shots like Bobby Orr. Or in the baseball season, I would be hitting home runs and playing left field like Carl Yastrzemski for the Boston Red Sox. I had a dream of playing sports, but you can see where I am. I did not play any sports. Played football and so forth in high school and enjoyed all those, but at some point you have to figure out where is God really directing you. But I had a dream. I had a dream of what those kinds of things would be. But then life goes on, and oftentimes dreams end or change. So if you were to write the story of your life, what would the journey be? What would be a part of that journey? Most likely, it's not what you thought it was going to be when you were 10 or 12. You didn't plan. I didn't plan for my first marriage to end. I didn't plan to go into business for 10 or 12 years. I didn't plan on having my children live 3,000 miles away from me in Tennessee for 10 years of their lives. I did not plan when I began my life for any of those things to happen. I didn't plan to move to Michigan 8 months ago when I decided I wanted to become a preacher again. But God has a way of taking the dreams and the things that you lay out before him and doing amazing things with them that you had never dreamed would ever take place. But it doesn't mean that God ever left my story. It just means that I allowed God to lead my story and to bring me through. We go through life, and God allows challenges to hit us squarely between the eyes. Situations come along and change us. It can change us. Jobs and career paths happen, and we didn't even plan on those kinds of things ever taking place. I love the commercial where the father, probably about my age, is sitting there in the kitchen, and his son is sitting by the table. He's probably in his early 20s or so. And his father says, "So tell me, you bought a new car and you sold all your belongings and you're going to take your money and you're going to travel across country." And the son nods his head, "Yes." And he says, and the father looks at himself and goes, "Wish I'd thought of that." And that's the way most of us are. We wish that somehow our lives had been changed, that our dreams were different. Most of us have dream-altered lives. Life is not what we originally planned, and we try to look back maybe, especially when you get our 40s and our 50s, start looking back and we think, wow, my life is nowhere near what I thought it would be. Does God still want me to be part of his world? Most of us have heard of Amy Purdy. Amy Purdy has been a snowboarder in the Olympics, the Special Olympics. She has been on Dancing with the Stars, if you're a watcher of Dancing with the Stars, which we are of that show. And she has an amazing story of her life. And one of the things I enjoy doing is I enjoy TED Talks through the TED.com website. And I would like for her to tell you her story. So if you would, please give your eyes to the screen and listen to this story.
If your life were a book and you were the author, how would you want your story to go? That's the question that changed my life forever. Growing up in the hot Las Vegas desert, all I wanted was to be free. I would daydream about traveling the world, living in a place where it snowed, and I would picture my life took a detour. I went home from work early one day with what I thought was the flu, and less than 24 hours later, I was in the hospital on life support with less than a 2% chance of living. It wasn't until days later, as I lay in a coma, that the doctors diagnosed me with bacterial meningitis, a vaccine-preventable blood infection. Over the course of 2.5 months, I lost my spleen, my kidneys, the hearing in my left ear, and both of my legs below the knee. When my parents wheeled me out of the hospital, I felt like I had been pieced back together like a patchwork doll. I thought the worst was over until weeks later when I saw my new legs for the first time. The calves were bulky blocks of metal with pipes folded together for the ankles, and a yellow rubber foot with the raised rubber line from the toe to the ankle to look like a vein. I didn't know what to expect, but I wasn't expecting that. With my mom by my side and tears streaming down our faces, I strapped on these chunky legs and I stood up. They were so painful and so confining that all I could think was, how am I ever going to travel the world in these things? How was I ever going to live the life full of adventure and stories as I always wanted? And how was I going to snowboard again? That day, I went home, I crawled into bed, and this is what my life looked like for the next few months. Me passed out, escaping from reality, with my legs resting by my side. I was absolutely, physically, and emotionally broken. But I knew that in order to move forward, I had to let go of the old Amy and learn to embrace the new Amy. And that is when it dawned on me.
Amy Purdy, from what I can see, I follow her on Instagram, is not necessarily a child of God. But that still doesn't mean that her story is invalid. Because again, inside of all of us is the power to be able to overcome fantastic things. But as we will talk about later, the power with God gives us the ability to be able to do more than what we ever asked or imagined. The beginning of her new life at 19 was devastating for her, but she was able to face those kinds of challenges. And I know as I follow her on Instagram, I'll see moments that she will get up and she will talk about the struggle to go back to CrossFit and to work out, and the struggle that she will find to be able to get back into the Olympics or to dance or to do all the kinds of things that she wants to be able to do. All of us have fears. All of us have situations that have happened to us that we did not choose or desire. All of us have those kinds of realities in our world. We have been thrust into new roles and responsibilities that we don't feel ready for. We have fears and anxieties. We have been hurt and disappointed. But are we allowing the fears, the hurts, and disappointments to control us, or are we willing to allow God to take the lead? That is the question for all of us today. Open your Bibles, if you would, with me to Joshua chapter 1. And let's read the story of Joshua, God's story that he reveals for us. I'm glad that God quit writing the Bible because I really don't want my story in the book for somebody else to read. All the little dirty secrets and things like that that we don't want to see. But here in Joshua chapter 1, we will see revealed the beginning of the life of Joshua, not from that he was just born, but where God says, I'm choosing you to be my man, to be the leader of 2 to 3 million people. So begin reading in verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, and all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Take a look at those last couple of verses. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Part of the reality of this story of Joshua is a beautiful story for all of us to be able to remember, and one that for years I have just loved and longed to read over and over again. So what has been Joshua's story? His story was one that as a very young man, probably in his early 20s or so, maybe early 30s, he was in the land of Egypt being persecuted and beaten by the Pharaoh and all the harsh people there and the taskmasters. And God comes along and brings Moses onto the scene, and Moses comes, and after the 10 plagues, they are rescued, and they begin the long journey. And he watches as they cross, and they come to the Red Sea, and all of a sudden the people come, and they look in their rearview mirror, and they see the army of the Pharaoh coming out after them. And all of a sudden the fire of God, the pillar of God, separates the two groups of people, the million-plus people on one side, probably the few 100,000 people on the other side, and he separates, and God says to Moses, and Joshua's watching all of this, I want you to put your staff in your hand and separate it out of the water, and I will part the water, and you'll walk across on dry land. And all of a sudden, Moses does so, and Joshua's watching, and the water begins to part. But I love the rest of the story, because God doesn't immediately dry out the land so they can run with all their might to get to the other side. He makes them wait all night long. He takes the wind and he dries up the riverbed, but he makes them wait. They look in their rearview mirror. There's the army of Pharaoh. There's the pillar of God. There's the river. There's the lake. There's all this body of water. How are we going to get to the other side? Can't you hurry up, God? Can't you get this riverbed more dry, more quickly? I'll be glad to go through in the mud. I'll put on my galoshes. I'll do whatever it needs to take. No, let's wait. And then they get to the other side, and there's praises, and everybody's excited like today. We have a new preacher. We're going to do great things, and all of a sudden the reality is going to hit. He's not perfect. She's not perfect. Everything is the same. Woe is me, cry, moan, groan, gripe, complain, all the kinds of things that normally take place in our lives. And that's what the people of God start doing. They start realizing, wow, we had better food when we were over in Egypt than we do here. They forgot all the bad things that happened before, and they start remembering all the good things that they had back in that land. They start wanting water, and the griping and the complaining keeps happening. And God wants to just eradicate all the people, and God says, or Moses says, no, let's wait. And God says, okay, I'll wait. And Moses probably, as he went through the years, had wished, I wished God had just gone ahead and killed him. I wish I'd let him do it. But he waits 40 years, and finally Joshua now is at that place. I love the story of Joshua. When it says here in the passage that the Lord came to him, it's most likely Jesus, because God was never seen face to face except by Moses. So most likely Jesus comes down in earthly form and is there standing before Joshua. And the first words that come out of his mouth are basically, get ready to cross the Jordan. He doesn't have time to give him a pep talk. He doesn't say, now are you ready, Joshua? Are you ready to take on the mantle of leadership? Are you really ready to do these kinds of things? He says, get ready to cross the Jordan. And I'm sure at that moment, as Jesus is talking to Joshua, he looks over at the side and he says, ooh, that water's deep. The water's fast moving. It's deeper than it normally is because it's swelling time. The water and the rains have really been taking place, and the water is wider than it normally is. And you want me to lead these gripey 2 to 3 million people across this riverbed, so how is this going to happen? Because remember the closing words that we read, don't be discouraged, don't be terrified. So God probably knew that inside of Joshua, his heart was beating faster. The blood pressure is beginning to rise. His palms are getting sweaty. And Jesus looks in his eyes and he says, be strong and very courageous. I will always be with you. And that's what God is trying to say to us every single day of our lives. Get ready to cross the Jordan. Most of us wake up every single day and we have our day planned. I usually have my day timer or some kind of document that says, these are the kinds of things, Randy, you're going to accomplish today. And almost every day ends up with things that I had no idea were coming. Someone will come walking through the door with some new problem. Someone will come with some new complaint, some new problem, some new situation that happens in life, some situation that comes along, and I had no idea what those kinds of things were. I was privileged to sit in on a Connect group, I think it was last Tuesday evening here in Trenton, with Vic and Mary Bliss. And they had their group in the sitting in their home, and we were working through Matthew chapter 6, and we came to the section on worry. And most of us, except for a couple of people who I think are just lying that they really don't worry, but they made the statement like they don't worry. But most of us had that issue. We worry about this, that, and whatever. Especially when we start having children, you start wondering, is their soul going to be saved? Are they going to be safe? Are they going to be okay? And the worries just continue to accumulate and grow in our lives. And so there are times in which we watch our children become bullied, and we'd like to go down to the school and knock around that little third grade kid who's been picking on our son or our daughter. And many times as a kid, as an adult, and my kids would call me from Tennessee, and they would say, tell me about some boy that was bullying them. I wanted to buy a plane ticket immediately, fly cross country, stop in Knoxville, get in the car, go to their school, and tell that third or fourth grade bully who really was boss, that I was going to be boss. But I restrained myself. I didn't buy the ticket, and I didn't go, because my job is not to rescue my children out of problems, but to give them the tools on how to deal with the issues that they deal with in their life. The next statement from Jesus is a promise. He tells them the realities. You're going to face issues. But his next phrase is a promise. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never, never, never leave you or forsake you. There are numerous times in my life where I have felt like God was not with me. Doesn't mean he wasn't with me. I just felt like it because my problems loomed so large in my life. Times in which for all of us, we probably feel those kinds of moments, but God is trying to remind Joshua and all of us, I will never leave you or forsake you. What comforting words. Immediately after the reality check that life is going to have problems is the promise where God communicates, I will be with you. I will give you every place where you set your foot. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. I will never leave you or forsake you. What an awesome promise of God. A few times a day I go on Instagram, and I love to look at some of the different posts. I usually follow nature kinds of scenes. I have a few friends on there that I like to see their family members and so forth. But what I follow about 4 or 5 Christian websites. And they post 4 or 5 things a day where they come on and they'll post about God says, I love you. Remember this. When you're getting ready to go to sleep, remember that God is watching out after you. I will never leave you or forsake you. God's love never diminishes. And I try to retweet those out to people who are in my social network because I want them to remember what I need to remind myself of as well is that God will never leave me. God will never forsake me. Because I know my feelings and my emotions get in the way and make me think that God has left me, God has forsaken me because life's not turning out the way I wanted it to. You see, the reality is, folks, when the world began and God began with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, the world was perfect. There was no cancer. There was no death. There were no too fast cars. There were no drunk drivers. There was nobody doing anything harmful. There was nobody breaking into anybody's homes. There was nobody doing anything dark or dreary or sinful that would hurt somebody else. Nothing bad was happening. No tornadoes, no hurricanes, no earthquakes, no snowstorms, no frost on windows. It was perfect. But all of a sudden, Adam and Eve chose to sin. And when that happened, the world turned 180 degrees on its head. So that Romans 8 says the whole creation groans in eager expectation to be released. That means the world, not us. The world is not happy with what's going on. I drive into the parking lot this morning about 8 o'clock. I'm going to the back space back here because I want to leave room for the guests and so forth to park close to the building. And there's a coyote standing in my spot. And I'm thinking, wow. They were in California. They're still here in Michigan too. So I very carefully got out of my car, and he scampered off, and he stood and he watched me, and I watched him, and I got the stuff out of my car and very carefully walked towards the building, and he ran off. I thought, okay, safe. Okay. So those are the kinds of realities. We live in a fallen world, but our heart still longs for the perfect world of God. We still have beating inside of us this dream that says, I've lived okay. Make it better, God. But sometimes he says, no, Randy, what I want you to do with your life is not that life is going to be you sitting in a rocking chair on the front porch of life as you hit your 50s and 60s and 70s. It's going to be, every day is going to be a grind. It's going to be the reality that your dreams may not be fulfilled if your dreams are not where God wants them to be. Does that make sense? Because that's the promise of God. Jesus is telling Joshua that people will try to rise up and take you down. Circumstances will occur on a regular basis to drop you to your knees. But God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Joshua needed to hear those kinds of words as we need to every single day to remind ourselves that daily there is a grind. We can either look up and be comforted by our God in heaven or be crushed by the weight Satan throws at us. Jesus' next words are uplifting and comforting as well. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Notice first what Jesus is not telling Joshua. He is not telling Joshua, you have all the power inside of you to conquer every fear and anxiety and problem, every sin, every temptation in your world. You do not have that power. You don't. Self-control is oxymoronic. We don't have it. We don't have it. We have more power than what we give ourselves credit. You can watch the Olympics and you can see people doing fantastic things that I look at myself and go, I could never do that, but I can. I have so much more power inside of me to be able to do things. But what God is telling Joshua is, I can do those things. Don't let your sight on the things that discourage you and the things that get in your way hinder you from seeing what I can do. What we tend to do in churches, what we tend to do in business, what we tend to do in homes, what we tend to do in our marriages, what we tend to do in life, in our neighborhoods, is to think, wow, that financial bill is too large. What am I going to do? Or my marriage has gotten to a place in which the communication is just horrible. What am I going to do? Or my children are getting to a place that they argue with me all the time. What am I going to do? Or my boss is after me every single day. What am I going to do? Those are the realities of life. But God says, don't let those things so discourage you or get so large in your minds that you can't see that you have the God of the universe, the creator of all things, saying to you, you are my child. I will never forsake you. That's what God is saying to all of us. And he wants to remind us of that reality. He is not telling us that we have the power ourselves, even though we do have more power than we tend to give ourselves. but he's saying, I will take care of you. We can accomplish so much more than we often attempt. We have more strength to get through the day than we often utilize. But God is not telling us to rely on our own strength and energy. He is telling Joshua to not allow the fears and anxieties to overwhelm him. One of Satan's greatest tools in my life, and I'm sure in yours, is to replay the videotape or the DVD or the digital Vine or whatever it is of your world, and to replay your world. And to replay all the times that you missed the slap shot, that you missed the goal, that you told your children something that you wish you'd never told them, that you said those ugly words to your spouse, that you told your boss off when you wish you just sort of shut your mouth and just been quiet. Satan loves to replay all those things for you to make you think you can't do it. You are a failure. You cannot find success. And God is trying to say to us that we can accomplish things by His power. But too often times in our lives, we allow those moments to limit us and to limit our participation and perspective on what God really wants to do. God wants us to be realistic and to see the obstacles, but to see that the God of the universe and lover of our souls will be walking ahead of us and holding our hands as we deal with every phase of life, day and night. I love the story of Joshua as a much younger man watching the water being spread open there, as I mentioned before, on the Red Sea. And that's a reminder that God is with us every single moment of our lives. Be strong and very courageous are the words of God to Joshua, and they are the words to us as well. Every day, words need to remind us that we will have massive challenges and obstacles, that life is going to be filled with tough times, but that those moments do not have to define our story. They are part of our story, but they are not our story. Our story is that the God, the King, and the Creator of the universe, that He loves each of us, that He is on our side. God is greater than any failure, any problem, any obstacle, any situation. God is with us always. While I was writing this manuscript Wednesday morning there at the house, I always do my sermons in manuscripts, that's why I'm reading part of this. My mental capacity is gone, so I have to read. While I'm sitting writing this manuscript, my oldest son calls from San Diego. And I said, hey, how you doing? And he gives me this sort of somber voice. And he says, not real well. I said, well, so what happened? And I get up off the couch because I know something bad is about to be communicated with me via the phone line. He says, well, someone broke into my house last night before I got home and robbed me. I'm thinking, story, life. I'll never leave you or forsake you, life. He'd been cleaning his guns for a shooting thing that was going to be happening yesterday with his youth ministry that he was a part of, going out to the desert and the wilderness of California, and going to be shooting guns with some of the kids in the youth ministry. And someone had stolen both his rifles, all of his ammunition, his gun bag, all of his checks, all those kinds of things. And so he has to spend the next 2 or 3 days, you know, filing police reports and all those kinds of things. But then he calls me 2 or 3 days later, and he's okay. Spirits are lifted because God was with him. That's part of the reality of life. We're going to have those kinds of moments happen to us. We cannot blame God when those kinds of things happen to us. The question we have to ask ourselves is, what is getting in the way to allowing God to be more visible in our lives? What are we allowing Satan to cause us to believe about ourselves that's limiting what God wants to do with our lives? That's the question for you today. All of us have it. It could be a personal hurt where someone has said something to you and you want to crawl in a corner and die. You choose no longer to be involved in the ministry of the church because someone didn't appreciate you enough or because someone gave you a hard time about what you did. I'm a preacher, I understand those kinds of things. They happen all the time. There are moments in which someone will hurt someone that you love and you choose not to engage any further because you don't want to suffer that kind of hurt anymore. That's part of the protective system of our life. But God says you got to be willing to let go of whatever is in the way because I have greater things for you all the time. There is so much more that TCOC can do in the Trenton area than what we've ever done. And I'm here not to just lead you, but I'm here to partner with you and your shepherds and your vision team and your mission team and all the different people who are part of the church here to be able to help to accomplish greater things. But we can't do it by ourselves. It's going to take all of us choosing. Will I engage? Yes. Will I engage? No. How do we get the no to move to a yes? I can't force you. I can pray for you. But it's you choosing to not allow the problems to get in the way of what God wants to accomplish. That is what we are about. Today, you're Joshua. Today, you're Joshua. And God is speaking directly to you. You can be 17, 16, 15, or 75, or 85, somewhere in between. God still has something He wants for you to accomplish for His kingdom. It's not just for your parents. It's not just for your teens. It's not just for the... Boy, I sure hope somebody else over there is listening to this today. It's for you. It's for me. I have to figure out in my life, what am I allowing to get in the way to keep God from being able to be more seen and more visible? Today you have in your hands, if you look inside your bulletin, a blank card with lines on it. We ran out of cards, so not everybody has one. So if you're sitting in a family of four, you may have to divide the card four ways. I don't care. But I would like everybody to grab hold of the card. If you're married, you just you and your spouse, grab the card and cut it in two. But I would like everybody to have this chance. You don't have to participate if you don't want to, but to have this chance. Standing up here on the second step is a glass jar. And I would like for you to write down at least one fear or anxiety or circumstance that you are allowing to get in the way of God being more visible in your world and through you. And to write that down, don't put your name on it. Just write it down. In a few moments, we'll have a prayer, and I'm going to ask you, once you write it down, if you would like to come up here and to drop it in here. The shepherds are going to be around this. They're going to be praying for you as you come. They're going to be praying for themselves as well, as they also are going to be participating in this very same event. And if you would like for to stop and ask one of them to pray for you privately, they just tap them on the shoulder. They'll go over here to the one of the corners, and they'll pray for you and then come back. And I just want you to have the opportunity to make a decision today as to what are you going to do. We tend to come to church and we hear a great message. Hopefully this has been a great message to some extent. But hopefully to hear a great message, and then we walk out the door and we go to lunch and we go watch the football games and we have dinner and then we go to dinner and we go to sleep and then we get up the next day, we go to school or we go to work or whatever our world is. And the changes may not take place. So I'm asking you today, what is it that gets in your way that you would like to be able to give to God to be able to let Him take place, that you're going to be praying for those things, this one item, to be able to give it to God. So I think we have a video or something that we're going to be playing. So if you would, so shepherds, if you'd like to come up and just somewhere around here on the front, I'll be praying with you. But come up, write your problem down, your issue, and just come up here and share it if you would, and just put it inside this jar, and later the elders will be reading those things as well. So go ahead and play the video. Let's go. together. Father, there are so many things that people have written down and put on these pieces of paper that they are giving to you. Some touch us deeply and come with tears to you because they know that those walls, those hurts, those struggles, the obstacles have gotten deeply in the way, and they want to be greater servants and help them to realize that today there is a part of freedom that will begin to take place, but there's still the daily grind. So, Father, help them to not become discouraged if all of a sudden the walls just don't come crumbling down and things just begin to eradicate and that freedom begins to experience. It is a daily, sometimes moment-by-moment journey. But Father, all of us are on that journey, and so we give this journey to you. We want the story of our lives to be written by you. We want, when this life is over, for you to say, "Welcome, good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom, the joys of your Lord." So, Father, bless every single person who's been here today, whether they chose to participate in this or not. May each of us make a new commitment, a new chapter that we're writing in the journey here at Trenton Church of Christ to allow you to be seen in greater ways. Bless us in that. In Christ's name, amen.